There are a lot of things unexplained about the world. Who or what it comprises of, we can surmise, often in an interested and casual manner, until it comes knocking at your door in the middle of the night asking for help. Namaskaram, listeners. Nishtha Jeeva here. And tonight's story is brought to you by Reddit user Zeeshan Haroon, with some additions by yours truly. So, sit back, put on your headphones, and don't relax, since it's an emergency, Doctor. This is a second-hand story about my brother-in-law's uncle, who is a doctor in a small town in South India. Let's call him Dr. I. One night after closing his clinic, he was asleep at home. There was a knock on the door of his home. Dr. I's grandmother opened the door. In India, there are two layered doors, an internal one and an external one. Here, the internal one was opened with a see-through external one locked for any additional protection. So in front of his grandmother was a person, in the dark of the night, asking, in the local tongue, Tamil, for the doctor to help his wife who was pregnant and was in urgent need of medical care. The grandmother didn't want to disturb Dr. I, so basically said that he's resting and to please come back in the morning. However, he was very insistent and persisted, citing that it was very urgent and that his wife was critical, and that she was in labor. On hearing all the commotion at the front door, Dr. I woke up and, after understanding the situation, agreed to help him. He packed any medical equipment he thought would be appropriate and left with the stranger to assist him. Given that this is a small rural town in India, flood and streetlights are not very common. Therefore, on the way to his home, where his wife needed help, all the roads were pitch black and without much lighting. So Dr. I still hadn't seen the stranger clearly. He could only make out that he was wearing some clothes. The stranger kept telling him how sorry he was for disturbing him so late at night and that his wife was truly in need of medical attention. Along the way, the stranger turned towards a graveyard, which made the doctor halt and ask the obvious. The stranger responded that his home was behind the graveyard and thus intersecting it would be the shortest route towards it. Dr. I agreed to follow him, despite not being completely convinced. He thought that at least it made some sense and that there was no reason to doubt him yet. Walking through the graveyard, they walked close to an area with a lamppost and thus some better lighting. At this point, the doctor couldn't believe it, but despite trying to locate the stranger's face, he couldn't see anything. All he could see was some clothes hanging in the air. At this point, he obviously tried to hide his shock and urgently tried to think of an excuse to get out of there. So he told the figure that he had forgotten some of the key equipment and needed to go back home to get it. Despite the stranger's insistence and pleading that it isn't required and to just let it be, considering they were just a few steps away from where they needed to be, the doctor somehow tried to get out of it, citing that the equipment is very important and that he would even leave his current case behind if he didn't believe him. Leaving the bag behind, he ran to his home, hoping that the stranger thought that he was hurrying to get the equipment rather than to escape. Once home, he told what had happened to his grandmother, both of whom stayed vigilant throughout the night, but he eventually managed to get some shut eye. In the morning, still shocked by the events of the last night, the doctor went into work as usual and tried to go on his everyday business so as to forget about what had happened. During the day, the local mayor slash chancellor, basically someone in a high post at the town's local government, had come to his clinic to get his son checked up. While small talk took precedent, the doctor mentioned how the local government could do more to install more streetlights so as to improve visibility at night. He cited yesterday's instance as an example without getting into the details, basically suggesting that he could see almost nothing while following a potential patient. The mayor seemed intrigued by the example, so he asked the doctor to explain further. The doctor gave out some details, but still omitted the detail about him basically seeing what was an invisible figure, a figure with no head, as things like this can be perceived as a sign of madness in Indian culture. The mayor seemed interested, but calm, and thus he requested that the doctor drop by his office when he has closed the clinic. Still scarred by the event of last night, and now worried about what revelations lay with the mayor, the doctor closed the clinic earlier than usual and went to the mayor's office. While there, the mayor asked for a clearer and a more frank assessment of the events told in the afternoon. Once the doctor revealed the complete truth, the mayor removed 3 files of doctors from his desk. Thinking that these were prospective doctors that may be invited to the small town, Dr. I was impressed and happy that more doctors were being invited into the small town in need of more medical expertise. However, the mayor said that these 3 doctors had been missing previously in similar circumstances that had been experienced by the doctor himself the night before, where they had been lured to a medical emergency late at night and then not been seen again. This obviously shocked the doctor even more, and he started being much more vigilant, particularly at night. The doctor, being the skeptical man he was, still believed that what he saw was just nerves troubling him at night, considering this was when he was woken up from sleep. A symptom of sleep deprivation, perhaps. Doctors lead hectic lives after all. The doctor needed to still get back his kid, so he ventured into that same graveyard to retrieve it. Of course, he went during the daytime, clearly still shaken from the events of the previous night. The place certainly did seem less creepy during the day. After a few minutes of looking, he eventually found it, under that streetlight where he left it in a hurry. The peculiar thing was that he found the bulb of the streetlight shattered. Did it shatter last night after he ran away from the place? Or was the light in disrepair all along? He looked down again. A few feet away, he saw it. A deformed fetus. He could identify a semblance of legs and hands, its body pierced and stubbed by glass shards. But wait, it had no head. Just a bunch of bloodied up matter where the head should have been. Was it busted in? Squashed? He took a step further, and then he saw the nimble moving of the hand. Primal fear caught the doctor, and he turned back, about to sprint away. And that's when he heard,
"Doctor."
He didn't look back and bolted away from the place, his sight looking only forward. Dr. I luckily had no untoward occurrences happen to him since then. But one question always irked him. Whose voice was it that he heard that day? The man's? Or that thing's? Could a fetus even talk? I guess he may never know why it was even there, or what he saw was even real. Some questions are just best left unanswered. But he always prays to Lord Murugan that if he had turned to look back that day, he would have probably met the same fate as those 3 missing doctors.